Hey, y'all, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When we first had the idea for At the Intersection, we had a ton of questions.
Yeah, like, how do you record an episode? How do we get the show into all the apps that people like to listen to? How does the internet work? How do we end the reign of capitalism and cast off our imperial overlords?
The answer to every single one of those questions is really simple. Anchor.
Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it is 100% free and it is crazy easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what we're doing right now by reading this ad.
Yeah, and I really love Anchor as a platform. I use it to track our downloads and see what apps you guys are listening to us on. And Anchor gets us into all the fancy platforms like Spotify and Google Podcasts without me having to do literally anything. It is super easy to use, and the app is also way more useful than the average like app from desktop transfer. Mm-hmm. Canva, for instance, not super useful. You wouldn't know. You don't do any of this.
I don't know. Also, like when I tweet Anchor, they tweet back.
Yes.
And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
There's somebody, actual person on the other end. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast, if you want to be a little bit less broke,
a little bit,
go to anchor.fm/start. That's anchor.fm/start. To join us and join the dope community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's Anchor FM-start. Come join us.
Welcome to At the Intersection. I'm Marion.
And I'm Brian. And this is a podcast about culture, policy, and how the two intersect.
Yeah. And today we're going to be talking about people who are canceled.
Yeah. I really want to play like a, you know, lockup sound over that. But like,
wait, from like Law and Order?
Or from just like jail. But... you know.
What do you think the noise from Law & Order is?
Okay.
So you see, okay. So yeah, anyway. Talking about people who are canceled, people who are problematic faves,
yeah.
The people who are untouchable in our eyes, and how do you draw those distinctions? And so it should be a cool conversation.
Yeah, so stay tuned.
I thought it would be like helpful for us to level set here and talk about who our problematic faves are and then who is canceled for us, like just us as individuals.
Okay.
So that'll help us go back and forth between the two definitions.
Yeah. So let's go back and forth like a cancel off. Can we do that?
Oh, I like it. Yeah. Okay, who wants to go first?
All right, so you I'll go first.
Okay.
I guess not easing our way into it, the Redskins.
Okay, you just jumped right
in. I looked at my list, I was like, let's start off easy. I was like,
have any easy ones.
So the Redskins are canceled.
They're canceled. Why are they canceled?
I'll give you a few reasons why. I mean, so first of all, the NFL is canceled.
For you.
Yeah.
And Jay-Z.
What?
They're canceled for Jay-Z too, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean that he's canceled.
Don't put Jay-Z in this.
I'm so sorry.
So the Redskins are canceled. And I think for me, when I thought about like the idea of who's canceled, like there are plenty of people who I don't like for various reasons. But when I started thinking about my list, it was like people who, it was actually a very hard, it was actually a tug of war between like my morals and my ability to enjoy whatever these people are, whatever this thing is. So. Right. I mean, I grew up like my dad's family's all from DC, huge sports fans. And like of all the sports, the NFL was the number one. And so, I mean, we used to wake up on Sundays and do a parade before the Redskins game. When I picked
like
up the trombone,
parade?
A family parade, but yes, it was in the circles, in the cul-de-sac. When I first picked up the trombone, like the fight song was the first thing I played. We had a flag that we hung outside the house. We had, like, all these different traditions that were all tied to it. To make matters worse, like, they were really terrible through my childhood. And they're still terrible. And so it was part of that thing where it's like, this team is so bad, but you're so loyal.
Right.
And
like Chicago teams.
Yeah, except they're, well, the Cubs won. But anyway, there's something special about, like, that level of dedication. And it makes you feel, like, inclusive. I think that was the biggest thing. Like, being a Redskins fan really made you feel like you were part of something special and that you were dedicated. And you loved it. I loved them so much, but they did not love me back.
But could they?
No. No, there was no chance. I mean, and I did not know this, but right. I mean, even the family that owns the team, who has historically owned the team, has a long history of just being racist. And they've been involved in Virginia politics. So not just like they're ignorant people, but like actually racist in like the clinical definition of like using power to harm people, right. Racist. The team name, even that conversation has shifted in a way that has gone from problematic to canceled. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing to have the name and to have a conversation about whether or not the name should be changed. Mm-hmm. It's another thing, and this they've gotten to a point where they said, we don't care
right.
that it's offensive. We don't care that it's a slur. We're going to keep it anyway.
Right. Which is like before the last couple of years, like the Native community was one that we just were not listening to in the mainstream at all. And now that their complaints, like really legitimate complaints about all of these racist sports names have been coming up, like you have to willfully choose to not listen to them.
Exactly.
And that's what they've done as a team.
There's that. There's the NFL at large. Mm-hmm. The fact that, I mean, I don't think give a primer about the whole Colin Kaepernick and Donald Trump and anthem stuff, but there's all of that.
And the team injury stuff.
The CTE stuff, the injury stuff, and then the last straw, and they were canceled before this, but this kind of just like dug them even deeper. Mm-hmm. NFL cheerleaders it's kind of notorious how poorly they're treated.
Yes.
And how they're not paid
very
well, barely anything at all. The Redskins over this offseason flew a number of their cheerleaders to I forgot which island, but it was an island in the Caribbean. It was kind of billed as like a team vacation type of thing. Once they got there, they took their passports, and essentially they ended up trying to turn these women into escorts for high-level investors of the organization. So
just like some light human trafficking.
So yeah, you're canceled.
Yeah.
For all of the above-listed reasons.
Yikes. So you jumped right in.
Yeah.
I'm going to ease myself in.
Thank you.
And talk about...
Yeah, please.
I'm going to talk about someone who is not canceled for me, but is a problematic fave. And that is Tina Fey, whose show 30 Rock is one of my favorite of all time. Like, every time I rewatch this show, which is a lot of times, I just like... I laugh at things again. Like, it's like I haven't ever watched it before, even though I have basically like at least 3 seasons memorized. It's so funny and so smart and so relatable just as a woman who is working and who, like, in many points of my career have felt like I'm the only person who's doing her job and everyone else is just, like, off on their own nonsense and I'm just, like, barely holding it together. For all of these reasons. On the flip side, like, Tina Fey is just, like, the prototypical white feminist, capital W, capital F. Like, she cares about things that matter to middle-aged white women, usually rich, middle-aged white women. She's got a real transphobia streak in a lot of 30 Rock, and it just comes out of nowhere. And, like, with every rewatching, I'm just like, ugh, like, why? Like, this episode feels awful to watch. And she's also, you know, like, being a white feminist, just super out of touch about race stuff. Yeah. I mean, there's that whole, like, her speech that she gave, was it after Charlottesville, about, like, how instead of going out and protesting, we should just be eating cake, which she's, like, has not apologized for, but has said, like, she
really
messed
up. Was it the SNL monologue?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, where she was wearing a very obvious wig, but anyway. It's problematic for a lot of reasons. But she, yeah, like, she has said that she did the wrong thing. She was trying to say something, she was trying to say something sort of, like, comforting and ended up just, as she put it, chunking it. And she said that, you know, like, the only thing she can do is try to be better next time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm not like, I can't cancel you because I just, the love is too deep, but she is very problematic.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, she went to UVA.
Yep.
Which happens to be located.
She was wearing the sweatshirt.
Right. Yeah. Right. Which happens to be located in the same place I grew up in. So when she said that, I was like, oh, that's par for the course.
Yeah.
And that's not dig to, I know that's going to be read as a dig to like all UVA people. And it's not. Entirely.
Sure. It's not 100% a dick, but...
Some of y'all are cool.
Some of y'all. Yeah. So that's my number one problematic fave.
Okay. I'm gonna take us right back.
You're
down.
You're just being so intense today.
And we both had this gentleman on our Robert Kelly.
Kel.
Kels. Also known as R. Kelly is canceled
all the way.
Just canceled, canceled, canceled.
Yeah.
And it took some time too.
It sure did. I mean, you talk about your reasons. I will piggyback off of you.
I mean, I don't know if there are different reasons other than the fact that he's like kidnapping people, kidnapping women.
Right.
And also coercing underage women into marriage.
Yes. And sex.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's a problem. I think the interesting thing, I guess, is the R. Kelly arch was a very long arch between like starting from Aaliyah, I guess, and his inappropriate relationship with Aaliyah that was very kind of not, but was understated throughout the 90s. And I say, I mean, it was kind of a thing where it wasn't hidden really.
But it was the sort of thing where like, I still remember the behind the music of Aaliyah, like the VH1 video. And her brother was on there saying they were never married. These are terrible rumors. Yeah. And like, he's tearfully denying this whole thing. And I believed it at the time because I was like, I don't know, 11. But like,
yeah,
like that was something I held on to for years. Like, well, her brother, you know, wouldn't lie about this.
Well, I guess my thing looking back to your point, like, I'm looking back on this stuff. Like, how are adults okay? How were executives okay with airing any of this stuff?
Yeah.
How were they okay with producing this music where they're clearly talking about being in a relationship?
Right.
And she's 15, 16 years old.
I mean, she was 14.
Yeah. So R. Kelly's canceled.
Yeah.
Again, similar reason for the Redskins is just like a complete lack of any type of empathy, of recognizing any type of harm.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to the football team. I'm going to stop calling them that name.
Yeah.
Similar to the Washington football team, they're refusing to stop any of their harmful behaviors, and R. Kelly is refusing to stop any of his harmful behaviors.
Yeah, he's being brazen about it.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think it was hard for, like, R. Kelly was a difficult one for me to let go of just because, like,
his music.
I love his music so much. Like, yeah, that's really it. Like, I genuinely love a lot of his music and have done for most of my life, and so that is, I hate to say it, but that is really hard to let go of. But like, as everything keeps on mounting and mounting, like, it's just, you get to a point where your morals just kick in and you are just like physically revolted by this person's existence and what he's done to a lot of women.
I think that feeling of, I mean, one reason why his music is hard to let go of is because of the emotions and memories that are tied to it. And I think that that translates a lot to kind of the policy, the political conversations that we have today about why people choose the people, choose to support the people that they choose to support or why they hate the people that they hate. And I mean, it doesn't justify anything, but like, people are holding on to Trump because he reminds them of a time where they didn't have to answer to their racist comments or they didn't have to explain their whiteness or that type of thing, you know? And so... While that's why they can be, that's why they can justify, at least in their minds, you know, disliking Trump or this, everybody will say,
he's not perfect.
Right. But. Everybody will preface that, but they'll still vote for him.
Right.
And it's because they can't distinguish between like at what point the harm is just too much.
Right. And that's, it's totally legitimate. And I think people try to, you know, use logic and rationality and all this stuff, but at the base of a lot of political decisions and feelings, like, it's just emotion.
Yeah. That's the closest you'll ever find me to trying to understand the psychology of a Trump supporter.
I think we should meet them with love. You know, that's what Cory Booker says.
Okay.
But yeah, the R. Kelly one, like, that keeps coming up for me just because, like, I am also a lifelong Aaliyah fan, and like, with the Mac for Aaliyah line that just dropped recently, like, I was listening to just all Aaliyah music and couldn't listen to AJ Nothing But a Number for obvious reasons, but was listening to Back and Forth and then realized that the man on that is R. Kelly. And I was like, come on, dude. Like, I know you produced this, but it's a real bummer. Anyway.
Yeah. So who else is on your list?
Related to Tina Fey is Alec Baldwin, this is one of my most shameful, like, he went from a problematic fave to now being canceled. And he was problematic for a lot of reasons, mostly him being a verbally abusive spouse and father. But again, like, I remember when the tape of him screaming at his daughter came out, I was like, well, you know, I've heard parents say worse things to kids, which is the saddest defense you can give. But he is so funny and so talented and so handsome. And I had like a huge actor crush on him for a really long time. And it really wasn't until he decided to start defending, like, for no reason at all, defending Woody Allen against, you know, his part in the Me Too movement and the fact that he is a definite alleged child rapist and, you know, sexual assaulter, and him defending him against this Hollywood witch hunt and all this stuff that just disgusted me, that, like, you would throw your lot in with somebody who everybody knows is a disgusting creep.
Yeah,
for, like, for what? For, I'm guessing, an emotional reason. Maybe it's a career reason because he keeps on being in Woody Allen movies. But, yeah, like, that's why he... I had to finally just, like, retire him and be like, nope, you're canceled.
Yeah.
It's a bummer because he is so talented and he's such a huge part of one of my favorite shows, 30 Rock.
Yeah.
From that's another problematic
That's why he's a problematic fave.
I almost feel like Tina Fey just attracts these people because Tracy Morgan is also on this show.
Yeah. We can't say bad stuff about Tracy Morgan anymore because... the accident.
He's fine. He's got a new TV show. He's just walking around.
You know, I think that's the thing about him. Is like, you don't know whether... I can't tell whether or not the man is okay. Or
was he fine before the accident? Insane. We don't know. He's been, like... He's on record as saying some really hateful, homophobic stuff. And, yeah. I can still talk trash about him.
Okay.
He was never a fave, and I never feel like I need to...
Yeah. I'm gonna really quickly go through it. Well, I'm gonna try. So... these two are different. So Kanye West, we've talked about a lot, just like one-off conversations. Mm-hmm. For me, Yeezus Plus is canceled. I can do without Yeezus. Part of it is because I didn't like the album name. I didn't like the whole ideology. Like, we get it, Kanye, I am a god. But like at that point, it was just like, this is annoying.
Yeah. So that's easy.
Yeah. The thing about Kanye is that I think the thing that Kanye is hurting himself more so than he's hurting anybody else. Him and his, I would argue, probably his children. But, like, more so than, like, he's not hurting the rest of us. Part of that is because, I will say, I think that if Kanye was a white man, the things that he was saying, things that he has said and are saying would be taken with much more weight. I think because he is who he is, we assume that there's something wrong with him. And that's kind of how this is. I think that's limiting the harm that he's having.
Well, something wrong with him, like, he's got mental health issues.
Yes, yeah.
Although he has also, like, there are a lot of very clear instances of him, like, saying that he has mental health issues and, like, exhibiting clear signs of that. So right. I feel like it's not just that we're taking his words and being like, oh, well, he's got to have problems.
All right. I don't know. I
don't know. Like, I don't know where where I stand on him right now. I think it just, like, I know that he's always just been, I mean, like our President Obama said, like, he's just always been a jackass and he's always been saying outlandish things, but he used to be saying outlandish things in our defense, like in defense of our community.
Well, like, George doesn't care about black people, Kanye. Right.
That Kanye.
It's Pete Kanye.
The Kanye where he's just, like, talking about being black in America and how hard that is for both men and women, like less so for women. And he clearly has a colorism issue because he does not like dark skinned black women. But like to have him go from that Kanye to this, like wearing a signed MAGA hat Kanye and talking about how he and Trump are like, you know, dragon brothers or whatever. Like it's just been very personally disappointing.
I mean, yeah.
But yeah, I still don't know if he's canceled. I did take him off, like, all of the playlists that I listen to right now, just because it makes me sad to listen to him, but...
Have you listened to Yee?
Nope.
Yeah, neither have I, but I also heard it was trash.
So, you know. Having said that, like, I do still, like, I think Black Skinhead just, like, it's just such a banger, and... Yeah, it's just really, really good.
I think I have an emotional connection to the rest of his albums differently than I have to Yeezus and above.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is just because of like who he was in the media around that time. I think I was really upset, and I feel difficult about this part because like he falls in love with whoever he falls in love with, but the whole Kardashian machine, I just
which is harming him more than it's harming the rest of us too. Yeah, that is like profoundly troubling stuff. Yeah. That what he clearly needs is to be alone and, like, be able to rest and recover and just, like, focus on himself and on healing. And what they need as, like, a publicity machine is to be out there all the time with their faces, like, on everything, stirring up controversy.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a bad situation.
Yeah.
I don't know. Weirdly, I don't think that I hear that much about the Kardashians. That's just, like, I've never cared about that family that much. But they are, like, a dominating presence.
I feel a lot about the Kardashians like I felt about Paris Hilton during her whole thing, her reign of the reality television. Yeah. Just like, I just don't want to see it. I don't want to hear about it. But yeah, the Kardashians have lasted for so long.
They have.
And they won't go away.
They won't.
I can't go to Nordstrom without seeing some socks from Rob. And I'm just like, I don't.
I didn't know he had socks.
He does. He has a sock line.
You know what? Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, I'm not mad at Rob. Do you, Rob? No. After the whole Blac Chyna thing.
Oh, yeah.
No, so forget Rob. Rob's canceled, too. All of them.
They're all, the whole family's canceled.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Jenner's, too?
I don't know nothing about no Jenner's.
The Pepsi commercial?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of them.
Actually, yeah, you're right.
But they're not problematic faves. They're just, like, problematic.
Right. They're just problematic, and they're out there.
Those are easy to kick out.
We can cancel them easily. I feel like a pattern is sort of emerging that there has to be some sort of actual harm, and we have to feel it, like, as people, we have to feel that harm in some way in order for us to actually cancel someone. Because, like,
I mean, I think it's that. I think the other thing is that it has to, I think the thing with football for me is, like, it has to come to a point where you have to make a decision about, this is either so far against your, like, morals or whatever that you can't hold two things at the same time. You can't hold these values and support whatever this thing is.
Yeah.
And that's where the football thing tipped for me. Yeah. And I mean, football as a sport has not tipped all the way yet, but it's on its way.
Yeah.
Because they just don't care about people.
No, at all. It's interesting too, like, I don't know. There are all of these arguments for, you know, separating art from artist. And I think I understand intellectually those arguments, but there are some artists who I'm like, but their art is about the harm that they are committing against people. Like, R. Kelly's art, a lot of it is about, you know, like, raping children, like, teenage girls. Yeah. Like, that's a lot of his art, at least for the 90s. And, like, Woody Allen is another one where almost all of his art is about a man who is sleeping with this, like, a way younger woman. And in at least one of his movies, he's sleeping with a teenager.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't separate art from artist when the artist is literally making art about the terrible things that they're doing. It's similar with, like, Louis C.K. at this point and a lot of other.
Well, I think Gino Diaz is a prime example of that.
Yes.
And, like, so that to me is a problematic fave that was difficult because, so, like, Brief Wondrous Life and This Is How You Lose Her. I mean, the whole idea behind his writing is to, like, call out. Well, so Gino Diaz that we knew was assaulting women.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like, the purpose of his writing was to call out the machismo and to talk about masculinity, talk about toxic masculinity, and to do it in a way that allows us to uncover those things and allows us to, at least from my perspective, to read and to identify with and then to understand that this is a part of toxic masculinity.
Right.
That's how I read a lot of his stuff.
Right.
So for him to, as a, just a person, to do these things is fraud. I mean, it's multiple things. It's the original assault itself and that crime, and then the intellectual fraud of presenting himself as someone who is helping to redefine masculinity and helping to fight toxic masculinity. And so that to me was just like, that one hurt for sure.
Yeah. And I actually had never read any Juno Diaz before, which, like, every year I keep on thinking, like, I should definitely get on that. Like, I feel, like, very poorly read for having not read Juno Diaz. But I kept on hearing things about how, like, he's sort of a typical male author and so very, like, reductive in his portrayals of women. But once this came out about him assaulting women, it seemed like he's not calling out toxic masculinity so much as just like confessing to it. And that's the case with him. That's the case with Woody Allen. That's the case with Louis C.K. Like all these people who we think like, oh, wow, like they're really calling out all of these darker things in, you know, this patriarchal society. What they're actually doing is saying like, I did this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like this is how I'm going to exercise that.
Not demon. Just I did this. I do.
I continue, to.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's hard like for me to reckon. How do you write about this?
Right.
And you don't recognize it. I don't know if they don't recognize it or they refuse to or what that is. I mean,
yeah, it's similar with Quentin Tarantino too. That like he's very, it turns out, very confessionalist in a lot of his movies, and in very sort of like extreme ways. And so like you can't sort of draw a straight line, but like he has clearly very disturbed ideas about women and, you know, like what role they're supposed to play in society and how they're supposed to be consumed and that sort of thing. And like, yeah, it's not call out culture at that point. Like it's just you sort of confessing your sins and feeling like, great, I've confessed. Now I can just keep doing all this terrible stuff.
Right.
So those I just feel grimy.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to get better from here.
It isn't. Spoiler alert. So, zooming out a little bit to talk about just like why you can stay a problematic fave and get a second chance and just sort of redeem yourself versus why you get canceled. I mean, like, like, how does that happen?
I'll tell you how.
Please.
No, I mean, so thought a little bit about this. And I mean, I think there are some trends that we would kind of anticipate about who's allowed to say problematic stuff and who's not allowed to say problematic stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I have some examples of those. I think there are a few that, I don't want to say breaking the mold, but some that are creating new molds in terms of how problematic you can be and still be elected president. So.
On the cutting edge.
So I think some of the ones that are kind of more more pop culture references and who are just a part of our everyday life. So like Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is a problem. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. No.
No. She's a problem. So.
I feel like I'm automatically falling into that thing where I'm like, I don't know if she's that big a deal. She's just some skinny white girl.
And so I think it's a conversation, right, about whether or not her quote-unquote transgressions are just typical par for the course.
Right.
Whether I'm being overly sensitive to the stuff that she says and
whether
does.
Whether she's doing it on purpose.
Whether she's doing it on purpose. And whether or not her whiteness and, like, her kind of
skinniness
and all that is protecting her. Mm-hmm. Her crossoverness. I mean, she's pop and country and everything else, right?
That's what people keep saying. She's always just sounded like pop to me, but what do I know about country?
So, I mean, there's a long list of things that Taylor Swift has done, starting with, like, petting The Weeknd, petting his hair.
I forgot about that.
which is not, like, you can come back from that.
Yeah.
Right? But it kind of...
It's not, like... Yeah, it's such a baseline, like, microaggression that I feel like every black person has experienced that, so it's not like...
That's not like a cancel, but like that's an example of like... I think for me, it's those types of behaviors over and over and over and over again. I mean, things like when she has kind of refused to stand up against her being affiliated with white nationalists.
Right.
To me, that's like that's the straw. At which point you've been canceled. It's like you can't, who are you, whose base, what base are you afraid to rally or for what reason do you have to not disavow white supremacists?
Right.
And everything else for me, from touching The Weeknd's hair to like doing what felt like almost like a blackface type of performance with Fetty Wap, like all of those things.
Like you keep bringing up things that I just like either did not ever hear about or all had buried.
All those things were very underlying that led up to this final thing.
Like her constant appropriating of like black female bodies and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And so, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little overly sensitive with Taylor Swift. But I feel like at this point, most other people would have been canceled. Yeah. At the very least, they would not have appreciated the popularity that she has, because there are much better singers out there who have done less.
Way better dancers out there.
Right. So,
but yeah, I think like the refusing to actually rebuke white nationalism is a serious, that's a serious red flag.
Mm-hmm.
And like actually makes her a problem.
Yeah.
The other stuff is just like garden variety white woman stuff. But this is like, she is choosing, by choosing to be silent about it, she is basically like giving them her tacit support.
I will say, I think that if it had not been for this last thing, the other stuff I could have written off. But
yeah.
Now I'm looking, I'm like, that's a trend.
Yeah.
Also put like Lena Dunham in this category. I put Sarah Silverman in this category. These are people who, every time they do something, I'm like, how do you still have a job?
Right.
How do you still have a job? And I think Ryan Lochte is another example.
The swimmer.
Lochte, excuse me. You know, I'm going to mess up his name on purpose.
He is dumb as rocks.
That boy Ryan. So I think, I mean, the most recent thing, of course, was the Olympics, where he
claimed that he got, like...
He claimed he was robbed at gunpoint.
Right.
He nearly caused an international crisis.
Right.
And the big... Everybody came to his defense and said that like, he's...
Oh, this poor boy.
He's just a kid.
Right.
Meanwhile, that kid is older than me.
Right. he is a full-grown adult who knew exactly what he was doing.
Right.
Like, he was just picking on, like, white America's fear of just, like, poor brown people in South America.
Who speak a different language. Exactly. I mean, that was whole part of the thing. Like, he didn't speak the language. So, you know, I do think that had that been a black athlete,
mm-hmm.
That person, I mean, you can't be a black athlete and do anything. So I can't even imagine, you know, the comments about how they don't know how to behave. And
how they don't know how to behave, how they are dishonest.
Right. Yeah.
Deceitful and like all that
spoiled.
Kind of stuff.
Spoiled.
Right.
But Ryan Lochte somehow, Lochte, what's his name? Whatever.
What? Doesn't matter.
That's what. So I just want to, one of my favorite parts of this whole saga is Al Roker.
Yes.
Because Al Roker.
Like Al suddenly just like came out of nowhere and was like, nope.
So there's a segment where Billy Bush, surprise, surprise.
Our favorite. Noted like accessory to like canceled people.
Yeah. Billy Bush is, and this is before, oh God, Billy Bush.
Been a problem.
He is in a better.
Well, I mean, it's a family trait.
But you're right. So Billy Bush is saying, you know, he misspoke, which is also interesting because, you know, that same thing, the misspoke or mistruths,
mm-hmm.
was used later. So I just want to play real quick.
Why people just misspeak all the time?
They really do. I want to play Al Roker just getting real black real quick.
Do it.
He lied. He lied to you.
Yeah.
He lied to Matt Lauer. Lied to his mom. He left his teammates hanging while he skedaddled.
He certainly lied about some details.
No, no, he lied. No, Billy.
Some details?
Billy.
Not there was some no details. Robbery.
There was no robbery. There was no pullover. There was nothing. Nobody
there was no
cocked
gun,
a gun to his head.
Hold on.
He lied.
Okay, calm down. Listen, if a security guard is standing in front of you with a badge and is asking for money and you don't speak Portuguese.
There was a translator.
Right.
Well, the swimmers, Jimmy Fegan said there wasn't. So there's a different story.
But if someone's saying you'll give me money or you can't leave.
He lied.
Sure, he embellished that.
No.
Money unwillingly came out of his pocket.
He lied. They were knocked out. He said they were their car was hit.
That's not true. That's a lie. Gun to the head is a Dirty Harry moment is a lie. That didn't happen. They weren't sideswiped.
So he created all of these moments to make himself look like.
Okay.
I've stared them down in the face. It was, like you said, the Dirty Harry moment. I mean, come on.
You look at Mario Andrade, who's the Rio organizing guy. He said it was a terrible, you know, does he want an apology? He said, no, these are kids traveling abroad. They're great athletes. Yeah. They're great swimmers. We don't want an apology from them.
Ryan Lochte should speak out. I think he owes the Brazilian people an apology.
All right. Well, we agree to disagree.
No, I'm just saying, we talk about, there's video of vandalism. We haven't seen the video of the vandalism in there. Keir Simmons did a piece this morning.
Right.
Took them in there. There's nothing damaged in the bathroom.
Look,
there's certain elements, but
let's keep an open mind. We'll keep an open mind. Hopefully Ryan
there
will
was
come
a gun.
On. Hopefully Ryan will come on and give his side of the story.
We'd love to have him here on today to
explain. Look, it's not a shining moment, and there are embellishing moments. There are total untruths. In the end, Al, He shouldn't have lied to
I wish you could see the video because Billy Bush is literally, he has bent his back all the way backwards. His head is actually touching the ground, bending over backwards to make excuses.
For a, how old is he, like 35?
I don't even know. He was in his 30s.
Old for an Olympic athlete.
Old for somebody to not know how to behave.
Yes, also that. I was just throwing him some,
some more shade.
Some athletic shade.
No, but I mean, first of all, when he tells Al Roker to calm down.
Yes, the point at which I like pulled back from the computer screen.
Al Roker starts stirring his drink like, let me not hit this man.
Okay.
Let me not. No, it was, but like that was not, that was a common response.
These are kids.
Right, throughout that entire saga.
He misspoke, blah, blah, blah.
So yeah, the question is like, why does he
deserve the benefit of the doubt?
Right. I'm asking you, what was it about this man that
about Ryan Lochte?
Yeah. Why did American give him?
I don't know. Maybe his piercing blue eyes, his his bright blonde hair, his tan but still white cheeks. It might have been that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like you know, and we also get very you know caught up in the Olympics and like representing America and all this stuff. And we want our teams to be the best versions of ourselves. And especially when it's like this, you know, wannabe America's sweetheart, like dreamboat white dude, like we want him to be the best of us. And so he's out there acting a fool, acting like the worst of white America. And you just want to push that away and say like, well, I know like I want him to be like me. So I want him to not be blamed for this. Like right. I don't want to be sort of tangentially held accountable for him being a liar, him, you know, being probably racist, like all of that stuff.
Yeah. So there's that.
Which is great.
I mean, I think that transitions into something very real, which is still a Billy Bush connection.
Billy Bush's old friend.
And that's fast forwarding all the way up to like 2 weeks ago, where Trump pre-pardoned himself.
Right.
Which was special. So I think there's so many things. There's so many things there.
And I understand, like, we're not supposed to do whataboutism, but, like, actually functionally think through what it would be like for Barack Obama to say, even if y'all think I made a mistake, I'm going to just pardon myself real quick. Like, just imagine how that would happen.
There would be fire in the streets.
There would be lynchings. Like, this would not be just, like, something that we just, you know, got past and be like, oh, you know Trump, just out there tweeting. Like, it would be an actual problem, and there would be serious repercussions for black people.
Yeah.
Like,
but so anyway. I think the things that I'm trying to not rant, because I could rant for days.
Oh, like I just did.
No, literally for days. I think there's a couple of things there. So, like, number one, and there's a piece that we'll link to at the end, talking about Juno Diaz and Bill Clinton, and there's another, and they talk about like the self apology.
Yes, Bill Clinton, another one who went from problematic fave to, as I got older and understood things more, canceled.
Yeah, and so I think there's this idea of like what an apology is, our means, and who it's for, and so the idea that you can pardon yourself completely skips over the idea of what a pardon is.
Right.
This idea of atonement, this idea of building a relationship, and it completely skips over that stuff. So, like, it doesn't make you can't pardon yourself. Like, in theory of what a pardon is, you can't. That doesn't actually make sense. You have to be pardoned by someone.
Right.
That aside, the idea that there's a world in which somebody could mess up so bad that they would need to pardon themselves.
Right.
And that would be an okay thing or an acceptable thing.
And we're all just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's wild. And I mean, that the culture that allows that to happen is the same culture that allows a lot of these problematic faves, whether it be Taylor Swift or whoever, but it allows them to continue to do whatever they're doing and makes them immune to public
being held
accountable. Yeah. I also just wanted to say, while we're thinking about who gets a second chance, Dinesh D'Souza, Joe Arpaio, the sheriff from Arizona.
Two of the nastiest public figures.
These people don't deserve pardons, like because they actually committed crimes. Yeah, aside.
Right, like straight up crimes. And like Dinesh D'Souza in particular, like he's somebody who I've had a personal beef with for a long time, ever since he came to my high school and gave a speech. And I specifically remember one of my friends turning to me like, I think he made a lot of good points. And I was like, he is standing up there being super racist. Yeah. I know that you want to be like, oh, you know, like,
let's be civil. Sides.
Right, exactly. Let's be civil. That's, anyway. But like, Dinesh D'Souza is incredibly racist, incredibly classist, uses his platform to hurt as many black and poor people as possible. And he calls people criminals who have committed no criminal activity, mm-hmm. commits criminal activity of his own, and then gets pardoned for it because he is just like serving as a parrot of the Trump line mm-hmm. and the Trump agenda. Like that's not what a pardon is supposed to be for, yeah. and that is not who a pardon is supposed to help. And it's just, it's a perversion of the entire, like the justice system does not work anyway. It is a very brazen perversion of what this whole thing is supposed to be.
It is a mockery.
Yes. And so, yeah, so that's Dinesh D'Souza. And Joe Arpaio, who, like, again, like, is a member of law enforcement who used his position in a criminal way to hurt black and brown people.
Intentionally.
Yes. Like it's not like, oh, I just slipped up and accidentally did it. Like, he very intentionally and explicitly said that he was doing this on purpose. And he's getting a pardon because, again, he is doing exactly what Trump wants him to be doing. Right. And he is saying exactly what Trump wants him to be saying.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I mean, pardons are whatever, but they're not supposed to be used for this.
Right, right.
And there's also the fact that now Trump is saying, oh, well, you know, like, I just need to be lobbied in order to get pardoned. So all these NFL players, like, just tell me who you want to pardon and stop kneeling and everything's going to be great. Like, this is not supposed to be, like, we're not supposed to be able to be, like, the most famous people can go and lobby the president of the United States to get a pardon for some personal pet project. Like, that's not how this is supposed to work.
If you look at other people who have been pardoned, I mean, there's this guy in Nebraska who was this huge, rich beef farmer who, like, went to jail for embezzlement. And she's like, what are the grounds for pardoning this guy?
Right.
This doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But that's who gets a second chance.
There's also Richard Nixon, a very controversial pardon.
Mm.
Which my mom still to this day says, well, he needed to be pardoned in order for the country to heal. And I'm like, it's not even your country. What are you talking about?
We'd have been okay.
We are still not okay. Like, the country did not heal, just FYI. And, like, the pardon probably didn't help. But, yeah.
So, I mean, I was going to ask a question about, or pose the conversation about how race and gender play a role into second chances, but I think that that might have been answered a bit.
Yes. If Taylor Swift keeps on getting second chances, and Lindsay Lohan, for some reason, keeps on getting second chances, but, like, Colin Kaepernick does not.
Yeah.
And, you know, unarmed teenagers just playing in parks do not.
Right.
I think the answer is clear.
Right. So, I wanted to talk about how the judicial system, how policy and how our culture is set up to allow certain people to be treated different ways
mm-hmm.
in regards to punishment for crimes. For me, thinking through this conversation about problematic faves, I think some of our most notable problematic faves turn up in the NFL. At least a lot of my problematic
faves. Yeah, because you actually watch.
Or just problematic.
Football.
And I think there's very few places where the disparity between how people are punished is no greater than in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that there's a direct correlation with policy, and we can talk. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about like what are the policies that allow? How is our judicial system set up in a way that allows this to happen? There's plenty of examples, and I'm not even going to start to list them. I mean, I think Ben Roethlisberger is a huge example. I think, there's too many examples of players specifically. I mean, there's a lot of different things, but really specifically talking about assault on women and how the NFL has handled that. So the general way it is handled is that football player assaults a woman. It is handled civilly
mm-hmm.
Through civil court,
mm-hmm.
which means that there's some sort of settlement involved. because of the superstardom and fame and power, both financially and culturally, of the player, oftentimes those settlements are confidential, mm-hmm. Which means that, you know, nobody knows exactly what happened. It's not it's not made for the public to see. It doesn't hurt the NFL player's reputation. And then the NFL may or may not choose to suspend them for a certain amount of games, right. Which, again, is another sort of civil punishment. They lose out on a little bit of money.
So there's no criminal charges.
There's no criminal charges. I would argue that that's not a typical – that's not the way that the justice system is should work.
Right.
That's probably the way that it's supposed to work, is that if you have a certain amount of means,
right.
you can find other ways to be punished other than being punished through criminal statutes for the criminal action that you did.
Right. And punished is sort of a – like, once you've gotten around the system, whatever so-called punishment you get is not actually going to hurt you in
right.
any way.
Right. So, you know, I think for me, this is kind of exactly where culture and policy – really do come together mm-hmm. to create this situation. Because, one, without the kind of cultural misalignment that we have, that we provide to athletes mm-hmm. In terms of the stardom or in terms of just, like, the amount of money that people are paid, this is not to rag against how much athletes are paid, but that creates a dynamic that allows them then to avoid, you know, criminalization for their actions. I think that combined with the fact that we have, again, laws that don't protect victims, mm-hmm. Creates this whirlwind of a culture that allows this to continue to happen over and over and over again. It allows the NFL and the players to give the perception that they've been punished and that they're going to do better, and it just continues over and over again.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the problem.
That's the crystallized version of the problem, yeah.
I mean, go ahead. No, you mentioned Harvey Weinstein earlier, because this is not just an NFL thing. This is...
Yeah, this is like, this is just a patriarchy thing and, you know, capitalism thing, and the two of them working together really well in order to make sure that rich, powerful men aren't punished for things and less powerful women just have to live with what's happened to them. So, like, Harvey Weinstein is one who... I mean, like, it's less about, like, I don't know what's going to happen with him. We're still in the midst of what's going to happen to him. He's been charged. We don't know. But he spent, you know, the better part of his career right. Assaulting and raping women and using his considerable means and his considerable power to shut them up about it and then destroy their careers. And that happened with so many, like, I'm just... As everything about him was coming out, I remember just, like, every woman who added her voice to this sort of, like, chorus hit me personally, because they were all actresses who I wondered, whatever happened to her? Like, I really liked her. And, like, to know that, well, what happened to her was a man assaulted her or raped her, or she defended herself against him and he took action against her for mm-hmm. retribution. And, you know, like... had her followed by his security to just sort of, like, make sure that she was in a constant state of fear. Or he, you know, just trashed her around town so that nobody would want to work with her. Or if he settled out of court with them, he would make them sign a non-disclosure agreement so that she could never talk about what happened. And which is what happened with Rose McGowan, that she eventually was able to break that NDA, and that's why all of this started coming out.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is... huge glaring case of a man using as much power as he has available to him to continue to hurt women and then make sure that he keeps on hurting them and destroying them so that he keeps on getting away with it.
Right. And so this is allowable not because, I mean, I think it's easy to place blame and say, like, these people are evil. Mm-hmm. And they are.
Right. They're evil and the system helps them be evil.
Right,
like,
exactly.
The system is made to continue giving that evil positive reinforcement.
And on multiple ends, so one, just the legal avenues that people have to do these things mm-hmm. Is one way. But then the other thing, I mean, you know, going back to the NFL, like, these stadiums and these teams are subsidized by public governments. You know, cities are paying and giving tax breaks in order to invite them into this space. And it's the same thing with movies and Hollywood. I mean, a lot of just entertainment industry in general, like, this is subsidized stuff. These are not industries where people are saying, like, hey, if you don't clean up, then, you know, you're not going to be welcome here. It's like, right. No, come on. like, come bring your revenue to our city. Please
it's the
come.
Same with, you know, like, Silicon Valley. Like, that's a community that is rife with racism, sexism, sexual harassment, all of that. And, like, these are still, like, companies there are still companies that cities are falling all over themselves to get to come to their city to. Like, every single facet of society has this problem, and almost every single one of them, like, the people who are in power are continually rewarded for and protected by their power.
Right. This all reminds me of, I don't know, it makes me think of a lot of the conversation that's been going on this week about civility that really came out of, I guess, Representative Maxine Waters. Very, like,
ooh, it came before her, honestly. Like, it came, like, people are being mean to racists, right, so, you know.
But, like, very recently, I mean, she made comments, and it was, like, the most... We talked about this on the last episode. Like, they weren't revolutionary. She's like, if you identify with a racist administration, you should expect to be
held accountable.
Right.
Like, you shouldn't
be in public
spaces. Yeah, you shouldn't be comfortable all the time. Like,
right. Yeah.
And since we just had a Supreme Court case that said, you know, like, oh, if you don't want to serve somebody because of your religious beliefs or whatever, like, you're allowed to discriminate against them.
Right.
Then suddenly it's not okay that, you know, Sarah Sanders is quietly asked to leave by the proprietor of a business because she's making her entire staff uncomfortable.
Right.
Like, suddenly that's not okay.
And then, you know, the other thing is, it's not like a conservative liberal thing. I mean, Arne Duncan, who, you know, the former Secretary of Education, who, like, his brand is this, you know, really liberal, he used to play in the Australian Basketball League. Like, he's this, I know it's weird.
I didn't know that.
The man's like 6'7". Anyway.
I mean, that doesn't...
He tweeted this thing talking about how... it was bad. He tweeted this thing talking about
He was comparing what happened to Sarah Sanders with, you know, like, Jim Crow.
He said we should be careful about how we treat people who want to eat in restaurants because this country has a long history of excluding people from eating places. He's like, first of all, that's a red herring. Those two things are not the same.
It's a false equivalency of the worst order.
Second and thirdly, like, nobody asked you, Arne Duncan.
And fourthly, like, honestly, how dare you compare, like, what, like, Sarah Sanders is not also being threatened with murder.
There are no lynch mobs coming up. Yeah, like, no, she just can't eat in the restaurant that she wanted to eat at.
Once.
And it wasn't, was it Sarah Sanders or was it the other woman?
The other one who was, like... people started protesting and yelling at her. And then there is also Stephen Miller, I think.
Yes.
So, shockingly,
go find you a Trump appointee, go find you a cabinet member, and go yell at them.
I do think it's funny that, like, clearly those two, like, not Sanders, but the other two, like, clearly they went to Mexican restaurants specifically so that they could get this much outrage about it. And, like, that's a whole other rant that I have about how so much of this outrage is, you know, us responding to bait that they're throwing out, but still, like, it's this ridiculous thing, like, asking us to be civil as though being civil gets us anything,
right.
As though us trying to appease racists and, you know, like, fearmongers and xenophobes has gotten us anything at any point.
People took issue with punching neo-Nazis.
Right. Because that made us look bad? To who? To white supremacists, we're going to look bad at them regardless. And all you're doing by bending over backwards to accommodate them is pushing what is normal and what is okay further and further towards white supremacy and fascism.
Right. I think that's the point, right? Like, the status quo and the idea that everything that we've talked about what it means to be canceled, what it takes to get somebody canceled, and how policy and culture uplifts that is really about people refusing to want to give up the status quo, fighting to the end to maintain that status quo, and not caring about who it hurts along the way.
It's like people really like to take comfort in this idea, like the moral arc of the universe bends towards justice. And it's like, if we just quietly sit and just wait for our rights to be given to us and wait for people to see us as humans, then it'll happen eventually. And it's like, first of all, it absolutely will not. We are living in what happens when the arc of the universe does not bend towards justice.
Right.
Like, people are very forcefully pushing it towards injustice.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea that we need to be civil with the people who are seeking to oppress us and who would rather we never existed in the first place, like, that's, it's bunk.
Yeah. I'm not here for it. I don't know about you, but
I think it's, like, kind of fine. Like, as far as ideas go, it's a medium. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's like some really more theoretical solutions. Mm-hmm. So like one, like patriarchy, it's a big problem.
Patriarchy is canceled. Capitalism is canceled.
I think those are, the, you know, but.
White supremacy is canceled. Yeah. That would solve it all.
Pulling it down a little bit. I think that there's a serious question about the public space,
mm-hmm.
and what we allow to be acceptable,
mm-hmm.
And going off of the civility argument, talking about like what are our values and what are we willing to do to uphold those values. But I think getting even more practical, there are a couple of things we've talked about. One very simple thing are looking at victims' rights,
mm-hmm.
And so part of that is extending statute of limitations. I think the Bill Cosby example is a perfect example of why we need to extend statute of limitations.
A huge example of someone who went from problematic fave to fully canceled, like, yes, the most canceled.
Yeah.
Like that. But yeah, being able to actually file suit and like get some sort of justice and some sort of restitution for what happened to you, no matter how long ago it happened to you,
right,
is a huge deal. Because if you have these really, really short statute of limitations, that means that a victim has to suddenly just make right with all of the pressure that is on them to not say anything, all of the pressure that is on them based on the probable power dynamic between them and their abuser. Like, do that instantly and with no fear of repercussion, which you're going to get.
Right.
And yeah, like, it's not, it's just not fair.
And if that's if our goal is justice, then like that's not getting us there towards that.
Right.
And I can understand like why that initially would be a consideration of, you know, we want to entice people to, you know, take care of these problems. But like in practice, it has not worked.
Right.
It does not work.
It doesn't work.
And so that needs to
and
be.
And it just protects people who are causing
right.
harm.
The other one that we talked about, do you want to talk about?
The non-disclosure.
Yes.
Yeah. So non-disclosure agreements, when it comes to sexual harassment and assault settlements, like those are, again, just to protect the assaulter. They are exclusively going to harm the victim because the victim can't then say, this happened to me and you need to be like, you need to watch out for this person, or like, this happened to me, please hold this person accountable. Like, there's nothing that the victim can do. Like, they have nothing except for probably a paltry amount of money and some judge saying, sorry, I guess. And so actually just sort of not having that be part of sexual harassment settlements, which is not like, you know, there's no law on the books. It's just something that is just, I think, sort of a practice.
Mm-hmm.
But having that not be the norm and having the victim have the right to speak about what happened to them and make sure that this person is held publicly accountable, if not criminally accountable,
right,
that would be huge.
Right, yeah. I think the other thing, like going back to the culture piece, is just we have to stop making excuses for people.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of, you know, so whether it's Bill Cosby or whatever, you're like, there's just excuse after excuse after excuse. And then there's the idea of the, you know, the art versus the person.
Yes.
And I mean, but like, no, like you have to be willing, we have to be willing to give up something
right.
in order to like actually be able to adhere to some of the values that we want to adhere to.
Right. Like we have to acknowledge the fact that even if Step in the Name of Love is the perfect wedding song, like even if you love 30 Rock more than anything, like art is never more important than a human being. And
right.
once you know that a human being has been harmed by someone, like you have to value that. And you have to value that more than, and it's hard. I defended a lot of problematic faves before they got canceled. Like, it is really hard to actually let go of something that matters to you, but humanity should matter more.
Yeah. Well said.
Thanks. So, Brian, what are you reading?
So, a couple of things. Well, one thing that I'll mention. There's an article called Juno Diaz and the Problem with the Male Pardon. And it's a really, really good piece.
Yeah.
So, I guess even if you don't read Juno Diaz or have
Which
really followed. And, you know, the worst part is I was going to say, you should read Juno Diaz. And I was like, no, don't
you
read
can't.
Juno Diaz.
No, I mean, you can. You absolutely can. Read whatever you want.
Yeah.
But
it would be interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to say go read Juno Diaz and then read this article. And that's not necessary. Don't
Please,
do that
it's,
to yourself.
A, it's a lot. That's a lot of homework.
But this article I really liked a lot. One, it's a longer read. It might be considered long form. Maybe not quite. But
it's hard to know these days.
It goes through talking about Trump. It talks about Juno Diaz, of course. But what it does is it talks about Diaz kind of in the context that he created, and in that kind of being like this intellectual person who talks about masculinity and how that made what he did even worse.
Yeah.
It was helpful for me to read, to kind of just call out the idea of like a self-apology, and what that means.
Jason Bateman.
It does talk about Jason Bateman. Or it talks about
Jeffrey Tambor,
yeah. I think one of the biggest takeaways that I took, at least, was the conversation about how all of these apologies are not for the women who have been harmed. Almost in an exploitative way, utilizing their pain to reckon with whatever it is that...
Reckon with. I've got scare quotes about that, yeah.
So it's a really good article. And also the links are really good, too.
Yeah.
It's just, like, really, really well-researched.
It's a rich text.
It is a rich text. the other thing that I'm not reading but listening to is Everything is Love. So there's a couple of reasons why I would include this in here. One, because if you haven't listened to it, go lift up the rock that you're living under.
Scuttle out.
No, so we talked about this. I think that Beyonce and Jay-Z at this point have gotten, for me, I say for me because
yes,
I'm
going to understand.
have gotten like Michael Jackson level where Whoa. I'm not sure what they can do that would make me not love them. I know Donald Trump said if he shot somebody in the face in Times Square, if Jay-Z and Beyonce, I'd be like, I mean, Bonnie and Clyde 03, what you want them to do? Please don't.
Don't
do that, guys.
Only bring up Bonnie and Clyde 03 when you want to say how far we've come as a couple putting out albums together.
I think there's been some good things written about that album and spoken about the album. Still Processing did a really good job talking about that album.
Yes, they did.
One of the things that I've heard about it that I really liked was, you know, somebody kind of put it up against Kanye's like 5 albums that he's all put out that he's produced, and like this is what happens when you put your head down, you mind your business, and you just do you.
Oh, Jay Smooth.
Jay Smooth. Yeah. It was like this is what happens when you mind your business. You have a fire album.
Yep.
You don't have to promote it. You don't have to make controversy of it. But I think that I've really appreciated, and I can't speak so much for Beyonce because I can't perpetrate to be a true Beyonce fan because my wife is a true Beyonce fan.
Right.
But, like, I've been a Jay-Z fan for a long time. And to see his growth has been, you know, just personally satisfying to see. But I also think it ties directly into this conversation about problematic phase because growth is just a huge, huge, huge part of being a human, of being able to stay out of that problematic space. And not to say that he's perfect, because he definitely is not, as Marion rolls her eyes. Not saying the man is perfect. But even the way that he talks about Kanye now, which is just kind of like, let's not talk about Kanye. That's his, you know, that's his take on Kanye at this point. So I appreciate the faves that are out here that are not problematic. And that is Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Well, you already know how I feel about Jay-Z. I'll just briefly say that I
all of Brooklyn is uprising right now.
No, do what you want. I'm one of those women who is still looking at him with a side eye because of what he did to Beyonce and how it fits into this whole like ongoing narrative that you see with especially with black men and black women about how black men can hurt black women and how they can, you know, transgress against them and be forgiven, and that's just part of them growing as a couple. That is something that frustrates me. It's just like one of my personal pet peeves that like he can say like, oh, you know, like I made a mistake, but now I've grown, and the mistake is that you just like cheated on this woman and like emotionally manipulated this woman, and there's a weird power dynamic in that relationship that I think even though Beyonce is just one of the most powerful women in the world, like I still feel like there's a strange power dynamic where he is so much older than her and he was so much more established than her before she like got to this level that, like, I don't know. I still don't trust him. And I know that they are not my friends, and I should not be responding personally to this at all, but, like, he even has some lyrics about, you know, like, black women who save us and rescue us because, you know, like, life is so hard for black men. And I'm like, it's hard for black women, too. Like, please stop leaving us out of this conversation and making us rescue you all of the time. Like, sorry, that was just, I was not supposed to go off on that rant, and I apologize.
So, well, do you think the album was effectively, and I don't want to talk about, like, their intentions, but in effect, do you think some of that power dynamic greatly shifted? Because he took a backseat in that album.
That's what y'all keep saying. And when I say y'all, I mean black men in particular. Y'all keep saying that. Like, oh, wow, like, he's so comfortable with the fact that his wife is taking
I'm not
up
saying
all
he's
comfortable.
What I'm saying, though, is that Jay-Z's never done it. Like, Watch the Thrones was probably his last duet album, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he was front and center in that. Mm-hmm. He wasn't, like, sitting back doing any ad-libs. Like, that's not...
that one he did with R. Kelly? Do you remember that? Best of Both Worlds?
You're joking,
do you remember
right?
that?
No. Why are you doing this to me?
Because I'm terrible.
No, but I think also, like, Beyonce produced most of the songs on the album. Uh-huh. Beyonce raps better than Jay-Z on that album. Mm-hmm. There's moments where he's just hyping her up on the album.
She went crazy.
I mean, I don't know.
I think there's a difference between professional power dynamics and personal power dynamics. And I think the fact that he is so much older than her, and, like, the fact that when they started dating, he said, don't embarrass me. I think that,
right,
like...
Right, right, yeah.
There can still be, like, even though she is probably right now more successful than him, and she is more in demand than he is. And
not probably, is, definitely.
Okay, but, like, and she is, you know, like, taking up more space on an album than he is, like... That doesn't mean that there's still not a personal power dynamic at play.
We don't know.
So remember earlier, like 5 minutes ago, when you said we should stop making excuses for people?
But I already told you that those are the two that I can't.
Let me talk about what I'm reading, maybe.
All right. What are you reading?
Take the heat off you. So I'm reading, there's a fantastic article by Rebecca Onion called Falling Out of Love with the Nerdist Podcast, and it's about the allegations against Chris Hardwick, who created the Nerdist Podcast empire. And this one was really personally affecting for me, just because I was never a fan of Chris Hardwick himself, but I am a fan of a lot of things that came out of the Nerdist Podcast, like, group. And when you find out that someone in this community that, like, even though you're not actually a part of it, you feel like you're a part of it just because you're such a fan, like, when you find out that someone there has sexually assaulted and abused, emotionally, verbally, physically, has abused someone, like, it really hurts. And having to come to terms with the fact that this is, like, the comedy world and the podcast world, like, they're all very, I mean, they're the same as any other world. Like, they are also patriarchal. They are also, mm-hmm. like, very violent and hateful towards women. But, like, to find out that somebody who has helped so many people who you like and who you respect, like, is this sort of a person, like, it's just really, it hurts. And so it's a really good article just about how you can, as a fan, reckon with something that you love being, yeah, not being perfect. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also reading an article by Renee Graham called Black Women Are Waiting for Their Me Too Movement. And it's mostly about R. Kelly and about how it is so much easier for us to give a pass to people who hurt black women and girls because we just don't take them seriously as victims. And mm-hmm. that's, yeah, like, it's just either we are not listened to or we are blamed way more than white women are. And it's not a fun article to read, but it is a really good one. So that's what I'm reading.
Cool.
So yeah, so, this is fun.
Yeah, we're going to finish this Beyonce and Jay-Z conversation later.
I think I've said everything I need to say. So if we do continue this conversation, like, on Twitter or whatever, you guys can find us at the podcast. That's on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, same handle. You can find our website at-the-intersection.com. You can email us at theintersectionof@gmail.com.
Yep.
What else is there?
You can find us on not on SoundCloud.
Not on SoundCloud ever in your life. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Pocket Cast. We are on Google Podcast now.
Yeah.
So Anchor. Yeah. Anchor, yep. You can find us basically anywhere besides SoundCloud. Spotify and SoundCloud
yeah.
that podcasts are found. So yeah, until next time.
Yeah, take it easy.